Nai mai hoki mai e te iwi ki te reo irirangi Māori o te heku o te ika kātira, kua hau tēnei. Ko Daphne Popata tau koutou kaipapa oho mo te hōtaka e karangati anei ko taumatahanga. Kātira e tātou mā ko te kaupapa kōrero i tēnei wā ko te paiseni tikau wari tikau ara 1080. He mahanga kōrero e horahia ana i te motu mo tēnei paihana. He nui ngā kōrero kino, he nui ngā kōrero pai hoki, no reira, kei whia mai he huarahi pai mā tātou katoa. O tira, kua tātou kai kōrero i tēnei wā ko Emil Raua ko Nairi Manuel, etahi kai kōrero mo te kaupapa nei. Hoi nō rā, e hisia ana te papa Atawhai, kia horahia i ngā ngāhere i koro rārika i te paitini nei. Hoi nō rā, me tāwhiri aki tātou ki te waia kōrero ki te whakatau o tātou manuhiri i tēnei wā. Kia ora kōrua, how are you both today?
Kia ora, tino pai.
Kia ora. So the Department of Conservation has plans to spread 1080 in the ngāhere in Russell. And to my knowledge, aroha mai, whānau and iwi weren't advised that this 1080 was going to take place. And how do you both and the iwi feel about Doc's decision to go ahead with this without whānau and hapu support?
My feeling on it is that it's a learned process that Doc are using, that they are able to divide people and use people that they single off to promote their ideas, and that are predisposed through their educational system to accepting the ideas that they put forward, and that they will utilise them to sign off or to agree to the processes that they want to carry out in the Ngāhere over the top of the voice of the hapu.
There have been kōrero that Kaumātua Kara George, a spokesperson on behalf of nine hapu around the area, support the decision of Doc and Forest and Bird representatives to drop 1080. Does Kara George speak on behalf of all hapu, or is it a division between hapu and iwi?
There is a division between hapu and iwi. We sat at hui last night over in Russell at Punaruku Marae, with a lot of very concerned hapu and tangata whenua that were there. Some hadn't even been notified. Some had been notified and disagreed to it, to the point where they are feeling very mamai and left out, because decisions have been made over their heads with these concepts that 1080 is the only answer to everything. Now, I explained to them, you know, 1080, it is a tool, but it's not a tool that we need to use. You know, there's our people out there that are struggling for a job, that are wanting to be kaitiaki, and they are getting these rights taken away from them by people that talk above them, over their heads, and make these decisions and say that they are speaking on behalf of nine hapu. I don't think that's fair, and I think the consultation process is incorrect.
And I'll accept that from listening last night. I also noted that there were two kōhanga, was it, or two kura that are involved.
Kura, waikare kura.
So there were two kura involved that hadn't had any indication or notification at all and knew nothing of it until they were contacted to attend the hui.
And apparently these hui's have been taking place for 3 years?
I think so, yeah.
And that's what we mean. The consultation process is them getting who they want that agree to the method that they want to use, and going through those people to justify everything that they're doing. And Pūtea is involved in that. So that's the sad part, is that people are getting money and putting money over their whenua. And that's so sad.
According to some research, that there isn't actually enough pūtea there to tautoko much iwi or whānau members to actively trap inside our ngāhere, because we have on one side of the fence, people are saying we need to use trapping because it is a tool and it is an avenue for our tangata, our people, to whai pūtia. And then on the other hand, we have people saying that our ngahere are too big and there's not enough numbers and people that are willing to do this mahi to cover such a large area. How do you propose that trapping is the alternative to 1080 and how, with the numbers that you would be able to gather, how would you all be able to continuously carry on protecting our ngahere in this manner?
Let's go back. So $100 million a year being spent on 1080 aerial dropping. $100 million. They've just got an influx of another $81 million to put towards pest control and weed invasion and all of that kind of stuff to do with our tai ao. And they're telling us that there's not enough pūtia to set up a system that is going to last forever.
Mm.
You're telling us that. Of course, the upfront cost of setting something up is where the biggest cost lies. However, once that setup is done and run effectively, changing methods, getting smarter with technology, I don't know that is not affordable.
Mm.
You know what I mean? We have one of the best trappers throughout Aotearoa who works alongside us, who has sat in the seat with Winston Peters and told Winston Peters, there is not a place in Aotearoa that is not accessible by foot.
Mm.
Also add to that one young fellow at the who last night made a very good example of when you're driving along the road and you see a possum that's been hit on the road, he said he doesn't see a dead possum on the road, he sees $5. But most people just drive past and just see a dead possum.
Mm.
But he's $5 on the road. And who's going to drive past $5 sitting on the road? Not him. And also this misnomer that the trapping thing's going to be ongoing and that it's not practicable.
Mm.
It's the thing with doing aerial 1080 poisoning. That's never going to end either. That's just in the same position where it'll be just ongoing forever and ever as well. Because it's been going now since 1951, so nearly 70 years, and they still haven't succeeded. So I don't see there's any difference trying to make a comparison and saying, oh, trapping isn't ethical, it isn't efficient. Because obviously the use of 1080 is the same. It's not efficient either if it's been 70 years and they still haven't managed to eradicate the problem.
Mm. There are a lot of people in a lot of ngahere that do use trapping as opposed to any type of poison, and it is working for some. However, if we have a large ngahere and only, say, 50 people willing to get into the forest and do that mahi, how do you propose that those 50 people are able to effectively tiaki the ngahere, because that ultimately is the big picture, is the oranga tonutana of our ngahere ne?
Yep. So over in Whangaroa here, right, they were proposing to do an aerial 1080 drop of 2,500 hectares of whenua. We have been in there with specialists that actually know and have been out to this area in which they're proposing, and with 2,500 hectares, it's not a large forest that they're wanting to dump this stuff on.
Mm.
We can have three kaitiaki in there all year round, forever, looking after that place, getting paid to do that, but also teaching the mātauranga side of it. Now, 2,500 hectares, three kaitiaki in there. The initial first part is the hard part.
Mm.
The monitoring of it forever is where we have to step up as kaitiaki. And we're doing it, we're on the board doing it in Whangaroa here.
Mm.
Now over in the Russell State Forest, they're talking about 8,000 hectares, I think it is. They already have trappers that are awesome over that side, like Stella and them with Opua and they believe that, oh, they need this aerial drop because they're defending this part of the ngahere and the other part is getting no kaitiaki on it.
Mm.
Why is it not being looked after by DOC? Are they not the ones that are supposed to be managing it? Why have we not got younger people in there wanting to put their hand up to be DOC rangers? Ask those questions. But yes, over here in Whangaroa, we have multiple people wanting to stand up and actually be kaitiaki, but not work for DOC.
Mm.
So the answers and the questions lie within that department. It's so political.
It is, it definitely is.
It is. Right. So many lies, and these are not just theories or anything like that. So I've sat in hui with them where they've agreed upon things. And then the next day it's irrelevant, you know? I've sat in hui when they're sitting there with our treaty partner saying, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. Oh, 3 days later, they do the total opposite.
Mm.
How are we supposed to open and engage with an agency such as that is looking after the most important thing in this world, our te ao, when they don't even listen?
Mm.
And an example of where it has worked and that nobody seems to be going to look is Ngāi Tūhoe in the Uruwera.
Mm.
Now, they've been doing this for a very long time and effectively by land-based, foot-based trapping and control, and it's working. And also the inference that the big steep areas and the very rough terrain is being inaccessible, well, even if there are areas, and the Uruwera is a good example of that, if there are areas in that manner, it's about using our brains and thinking, how do we do this in this area effectively to manage this country, which is some of it is very difficult terrain. Well, I've seen and spoke to this young fellow last night who actually, him and his missus, do use this method. And if you look to the area of operations that are done, there's something that they do before they poison called pre-feeding. And so if you go into these areas where you can access by foot and then come to areas that are fairly hard and inaccessible, a method that works in those areas is to actually go and set up a camp there for 3 or 4 days and you pre-feed the area and you bring the animals to you and then you trap them. Mm. And that is effective and it works.
There are a lot of people up here in Te Heko o Te Ika that are opposed to the use of 1080, mainly because it is a way of life for a lot of people as well. That's another take about exposing our ngahere to 1080, especially with the vulnerability in regards to our kuri. And that's one main issue. Is that an issue that you have heard many times through in these hui, that people are worried that if 1080 is dropped in our ngahere, that there would not be an avenue for whānau to go hunting in the ngahere?
Absolutely.
And especially when you're talking about a lot of whānau that are deprived of incomes and are very, very low income whānau, often with no money. And so the only way they get to be able to have pai is to be able to go and get it in the ngahere, which they've done since our tūpuna.
Mm.
And also another thing I was thinking about here is the fact that while I've been walking on this hikoi, I've been raising awareness to not only is it dangerous to the animals and the manu, and we are unable to use our rongawā, and then it also affects our taonga for raranga and for kairo. The other thing that is important to remember is that even on the packaging label of this product, it is stated that it is a reproductive disruptor, and it is also known and accepted that it is a teratogen. And this is at levels of contamination that are undetectable in water. So if we're in those ngahere and we just drink from that stream that may have some 1080 in way, way up the way, we only have to have small amounts to actually sterilise us over time. And if the wahine is in the Nsitapu, then that can have very detrimental effects on that growing fetus or embryo, because the teratogen is something that causes birth defects or deformations in the growing embryo or fetus. And these are information that has not been disseminated to the people.
Mm. Why is that, do you believe?
Well, of course, when I've mentioned that to the people that don't know, their reaction straight away is, we don't want this stuff. So if you immediately bring them to the awareness of that type of effect that can have on us as people, then of course we're not going to want that. And and that's regardless of the whole fact that it just does not fit tikanga Māori.
We have had an environmentalist come on the show talking about the origins of 1080 and the use, whereas 20 years ago he was completely opposed to the use of 1080 because it is an inhumane way of killing off the pest. However, he has a block of land where he started using 1080, and he has said that it has kept the paihamu away and that his rākau is blooming, which it has never done in all his life. This is the first time. And he believes that it is because of the use of 1080 on his property, and that's through 20 years of research. But what are your whakaaro on that side of the kaupapa? Because there are a lot of environmentalists that have come to the table, I won't say with proof, but with their research that they have done that supports the use of 1080. And one thing for me personally that is lacking is the research anti-1080 protesters. And only because for myself, I have been spoken badly to for asking questions about the kaupapa. What are your whakaaro, and what research has been conducted to support the claim that it is not protecting our ngahere?
The science that they fall back on. They always say these words, but scientifically, where is their proof? Because we've had people like Whiting O'Keefe. You've probably seen Poisoning in Paradise from the Grass Brothers. It's right there in front of everybody what it's doing. But yet, when we bring those scientists, actual scientists up, it's irrelevant to them. And they're the only scientific report papers that have been done.
As far as I'm aware, the Whiting O'Keefe reviewed over 100 papers, and all of them were faulty. And they were specialists in fields of anthropology and human biology, and the other was chemistry and, I can't remember that, they both had specialist fields relating to these chemicals and the use of poison and how it would affect in those fields. And in the review of those papers, they damned all of them. And yet they were dismissed because they weren't registered as scientific people in this country. And so whenever evidence is produced by people who are opposing 1080, they are just dismissed as irrelevant because they don't have qualifications. And they use anecdotal evidence daily promote their use of 1080, but we aren't allowed to do that because we don't have scientific evidence to prove what we're saying. But it seems that one side's allowed to use anecdotal evidence with very faulty scientific research. It was described by Quinn Whiting O'Keefe as if you go fishing in a harbour and you're trying to catch herring, but the holes in your net will let a whale through them, of course you're not going to capture the data that will prove what you're trying to say, that there is fault in the use of this thing. And that seems to be when you have scientists, you will probably find soon that there will be many scientists stepping forward who have been released from the government department because they won't conform to using those scientific methods. And hopefully we'll be able to actually get some of those people to step forward, and I think there are some already who have actually stepped forward and started to say that those are the methods that are used to keep this gravy train moving forward.
And there definitely is a large following in Aotearoa supporting the anti-1080 campaign, especially with the turnout from the hīkoi last week and towards Wellington. And even in the far north, there have been ope of protesters taken to the streets opposing the use of 1080, and especially in Kaitaia today. We have a couple of whanaunga down here promoting the anti-1080 campaign as well. Another issue is that this ope supports a national ban in 1080, but there were a list of kaitiaki that put out a press release stating that they wouldn't agreed to a national ban in 1080 only because they've been using 1080 in the forest down in the Bay of Plenty and it has proved efficient for them. How do you both propose that both sides of the fence come together and move forward together? Is that possible, and would we be able to achieve that or not?
We would be able to achieve that, absolutely. Mm. Whatever's best for our environment is what we are talking about.
Mm.
You know, but what they need to understand is, why are they relying only on that tool?
Mm.
Why does 1080 have to be the only tool? What if 1080 wasn't here? What tools are we left with? Why can't we try other methods before we have to just go directly to aerial 1080?
Mm.
Nobody's ever really thought about that. Promote alternatives. Mm. At least give it a go.
Would it be, we'll say, user-friendly if it wasn't distributed how it is being distributed and Pintaraco like other poisons have been, because that's how it's usually distributed amongst the forest, isn't it? And then the hehia is to just drive over a forest and dump tons and tons of poison into it. If there was another alternative way in distributing the poison, will you both be in agreeance to the use of 1080 then, or is it just completely the use of the poison in general?
Well, my view of that has to go back to the action of 1080 and how it works.
Mm.
And so 1080 is a citric acid cycle disruptor. So what that means is it breaks the Krebs cycle. To understand what that is, it simply means that a cell within us or a cell within any living thing, it converts simple sugars to DNA and creates a new copy of itself. 1080 blocks that cycle from occurring and stops their cell from replacing, so effectively leaves an inert cell which doesn't replace or doesn't go away. The process of converting the sugars to DNA gives off energy. The energy that's given off is Māori, life force, life essence. So for me, 1080 is just not usable because it is anathema to our tikanga and our vision of Māori, full stop. Because it blocks life force, life essence. And also going back to the, we need to unwind right back to the beginning of this whole problem. Something that's never ever brought up in the corridor is how come we are in this position in the first place.
Mm.
And as I've walked along, I'm quite well aware that the reason that we actually have this problem with our flora and fauna is because there is not enough habitat. And while walking along from Cape Reinga to Whanganui-Atara, I've been able to observe the landscape very closely as you can walking, and I can see that there's many, many areas that have been used and utilised for farmland that could be actually left to revert back to native forest. And if we did an audit of the whenua and found all those marginal areas that actually are probably not so user-friendly for farming, we could actually encourage the re-establishment of native bush and basing it on the using a tapanol that will give a 12-month feed cycle for our money.
Mm.
And we could actually probably see a revitalisation in our bird life, because we need to just reconnect the areas of forest that are there, because I've observed places going there at night time and seeing many possums and thinking there is a lot of possum area.
Mm.
But then in the daylight, which is high, I can see that it's because all the bush in these areas are all islands. And it's just a simple as when you have an island and you've got all the small creatures up to the big creatures such as possums, the big ones are going to win because it's an island. But if we could reconnect all these areas back together and create corridors of connection, then that would start to alleviate that problem. And I can speak from my experience from where I live in Ngāhere, in Te Taupōkeni, near Tunakaki, where in 2007, before they really poisoned our forest, we had such prolific bird-like bird song chorus in the morning that you weren't asleep. Woke up, you weren't going back to sleep because it was just too noisy.
Mm.
After aerial application, that noise actually died away over a period of about 6 weeks until we had almost no bird life. It was heartbreaking, and it hasn't recovered after 11 years. And the thing to remember about prior to the aerial drop is that we had such birdsong that was so noisy you couldn't sleep, but we also had possums, we also had rats, we also had stoats in that environment. And the local people in our community, we had a thing called a rats program, which meant all the locals did our own trapping. We trapped the possums, we trapped rats, and we kept the record. And so we lifted this, and it was in coordination with the Regional Council of the West Coast. And then, even though we had done all that and we had all the figures and data, they ignored that and just poisoned it anyway.
It's a lot to take in, eh? All of this kōrero about what it has done and what it can do, the way in which animals are dying because of the poison. It is inhumane, and you know, if we were to see something like that happening, then it'll probably ring alarm bells in all of our heads if we were to see that. However, we come back to the kōrero that some iwi do support the use. Do we take that to the Department of Conservation and the kāwanatanga to tell them, hey, you need to come to the iwi, you need to call kōrero to the iwi before making these kind of decisions? Maybe that is another huarahi, because some people do support it, a lot of other people don't support it. But if you take away the decision making from certain iwi, that's just taking mana away from certain kaitiaki. And that was a kōrero that was inside that statement that environmentalists had put out a few weeks ago. So how do you propose that we do work together to eradicate the predators in the forest with a mutual understanding with those that do support the use and those that don't? How do we work together?
Well, I think that a good starting point that is something that I've also picked up on this sequoia is I spoke to a man called Dave Livingston in Stange, and he had a very, very good message, and that was, instead of saying ban this, stop that, which has a very low vibration and a downward feeling, he thought, why not let's promote, we want an organic future. We want to promote a clean and healthy living space. And so speaking in an uplifting and a positive manner about the management of our kaiao, then we can bring people to the table, because he noted quite clearly, and he uses the same method that I do. You put a statement out and you can watch people and see their reaction to gauge where they sit. And so he was saying, we need to ban this, we need to stop that. He noted, and I have also, that you see people just shut down because it's very, very negative, and it just people don't really listen. But if you start promoting this idea of, we want to have an organic future, we want to have a clean, green environment where we can all live happily and safely, and we can utilise our resources in a safe manner, and we can use them all together in a good way, that brings more conversation and is uplifting and can bring everybody to the table to talk.
We've run out of time today, but I do want to give you both a mihi for coming on air to have a kōrero about this kaupapa. However, do you have any final words for our listeners here in the Far North, and maybe words of encouragement for people that, because there are a lot of people that aren't talking to each other in a manner in which that we can conversate on mutual grounds. It's either you're on my waka or you're thrown overboard. Do you have any kōrero for our whānau to maintain wairua rangimārie in kōrero's regard to the kaupapa?
Absolutely. The key thing is to actually sit down amongst our hapū, amongst our iwi, and respect each other's voices. But whānau, e tū. Stand up, be heard, you have a right, have your say. Just because someone next to you doesn't like what you're saying, it doesn't mean what you're saying is incorrect. Respect one another. Take it back to how we were taught. We go into our marae, we sit down, and we talk with each other. We are the decision-making process. You know? We can take it back to the basics and talk, and kōrero amongst each other. The acts in which come out of that, was determined obviously by their kōrero. And you will find we didn't know what we were walking into yesterday, but we walked in there and that whole entire room that was there, they ended up giving up to each other even when they disagreed. They came to the agreement that let's start looking after our tai o. And it always comes back to the same kaupapa. Make educated decisions about our tai o and let's work together to fix this problem.
Tēnā koe.
And I think a process just quickly there that needs to be carried out first is because there's been outside education brought into the marae, the first thing that needs to occur is we need to correct our constitutional order within our marae because it's infiltrated by outside influences. Once we can get the constitutional order correct within the marae and the kōrero is tika, then we can revert to the understanding and learning that was tuku iho i ngā tupuna, the things that are handed down by our ancestors, which are working with the pai ao, not against it, not killing, not hurting things. We can work in a manner that is caring, loving, and upping our pai ao, and the people and everything else within it.
Tēnā kōrua. Kia pai tō kaurua rā, ne?
Ai, me koe hoki.
Ai.
Ka kite.
Ka kite. Ka tira i tā tauma, kua memesi te puna kōrero i tēnei wā, koe aku te kaupapa kōrero mo te paihana te kau, ware te kau. Nā, e hakarongo ana koutou ki te reo irirangi Māori o te hiku, o te ika me te wāhanga taumatahanga. Vai tonu mai.